Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
It is Ebro, Laura, and Rosenberg, our guest today. Tisha Campbell, that's right. Yay! Gina's on the program. Gina. How often do people walk? I know you get this question all the time, but it's obligatory. We got to ask. How many people walk up to you on the street and just say, damn, Gina, or Gina, or something like that?
Listen, my own son calls me Gina. I stopped like trying to get him to call me mommy. I just say, okay. I just answer.
Wow.
I just answer. But it's cool. I like it because, I mean, we would have never thought that it would still be this people would still
legendary
like the show. Yeah. Legend. Relevant. I didn't know. So when people do approach me, I don't mind. I don't mind it at all.
That's amazing.
Obviously, we're going to get into everything Uncoupled, what you have going on. But since we're here, let's just stay here for a second.
Okay.
Are you happy that, like, listen, no one seemed to actually know the full ins and outs of you and Martin's history, but you guys did the reunion recently, and it seems like you're on a good page.
We
I
love
imagine
each other.
That must
like,
be.
We are friends forever, and we've been through so much healing. I know everybody else is trying to catch up to us, but we are we're ecstatic that we were able to come together, you know, show people, you know, our family, and, you know, give our supporters, I never say fans, our supporters what they really wanted. And it took a long time. And the only reason why it took so long was because we couldn't get our schedules together more so than anything else. But I'm just happy that we were able to do that. And we were able to bring the reunion together. And that for us, it was our first time, like, really understanding the impact that we actually have on people.
Mm-hmm. Tisha, you have been performing basically your entire life. Right?
Yeah, like, I've been paying bills since I was 5.
I was going to say, like, I think I heard you were on Broadway at 11.
Yeah, I was. I was on Broadway at 11 doing the show called Really Rosie. And I love doing Broadway. I miss it a lot.
So, but on that note, with everything, I mean, school days, house party, I mean, you have been giving us so much great entertainment for so long. Now you have your new show Uncoupled.
Yeah.
Talk about that journey though, as a working actor and managing just the whole journey and looking back, right? Because you just said, you know, when you started Martin, you guys had no idea what type of cultural impact you were going to make and how relevant it would still be today.
Right.
But
right.
Now taking a stop, smelling the flowers, looking at all your accomplishments, having the Martin thing come full circle, what kind of wisdom can you impart on young actors, young performers, just after the things you've learned in your path?
I think, you know, there's a lot of people that paved the way for me, and I'm appreciative of it, but I always knew that I would have to, well, my grandmother used to tell me all the time, you have to be extraordinary in order to be considered average, you know, in whatever you do. And so if this is the path that you want to take, you have to honestly, well, one of the things that I'm learning now is that you can't let anybody get in your way of your drive, your goals, and no's are going to come. I don't really hear them until the third time, but the no's come, the rejection comes. It's kind of a part of it. And so you have to understand that, but then you have to be extra prepared because you're not going to, like, now is, you know, a different day and age. There was a time where, you know, we were talking about the show Rags to Riches, where I was the only Black little girl on television at all.
Which is why, as a young kid in my household, we was into it because this was NBC. And it was a star that was a young, and people may not remember. You said I was probably the only person watching
you
the show.
You
but,
were.
But we was hot.
You was the only one in America that watched that show. But it was probably only me and Kim Fields that, you know, but representation really
Tootie,
does matter.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Representation really does matter. And, you know, now, you know, it's a surgence of, you know, inclusivity. And I think that it's very important to see yourself, you know, because I grew up in a time where there was no me, right?
Right.
Or there was nobody that represented, that looked like me. So, you know, you have to understand how important that is and be a filmmaker. If you're just trying to be an artist, there's no, I mean, just an actor or whatever, or just a singer, there's no such thing. Like, you have to be a well-rounded artist that's prepared, that's ready to go at any moment, because somebody's going to be busy. It's going to be your turn. And will you be ready to knock down that door? Like, I'm still knocking down doors. Like, right now, I'm writing and producing and doing all the things I've ever wanted to do in life. I think during COVID isolation, I got a chance to just sit still and not listen to anybody else in my ear telling me what I couldn't, shouldn't, or can't do. And so for the very first time, I was able to sit down and do the one thing that I've always wanted to do, and that is to write and create.
Wow. And you're just now getting that chance after all of these years.
Yeah, this is my second half. Like, now that, you know, I'm uncoupled myself and I've been able to just sit with myself, I'm understanding that, you know, I've always lived for other people. I've always put myself in a position to, like I said, pay bills at 5 years old. And the reason why I got into this business in the first place was because I wanted to help other people. I wanted to help my family. I wanted to help, right? And I still do. But there comes a time where you have to actually put yourself first and go for your own goals, for your own personal reasons, and everybody else will fall into place. I was just looking at something today with my good friend AJ Johnson, and she was talking about boundaries.
AJ, what up, AJ?
That's my girl. So, you know, we've been friends for so long, and she just happened to be talking about setting boundaries and not being flexible with those boundaries and not letting people cross those boundaries. And that's okay to do, because that's called mental wellness. So I'm in a really, really joyful place. Everything else is falling into place. My kids, the work, all of it, it falls into place when you put yourself first. I just got deep for no reason.
No, that's the reason. That's the reason. Well, and talk to us about Uncoupled and what this is all about.
Uncoupled is really amazing. It's very fresh. It's very new. I'm so glad that Netflix put a show like this. We're talking about inclusivity. We're talking about representation matters, you know, and this
you're doing it again. You're breaking ground again.
I'm so grateful of this show. Well, first of all, it was written by Darren Star and Jeffrey Richmond. And Darren Star created Sex in the City, Emily in Paris, Melrose Place. Jeffrey Richmond was, you know, the one of the producers of Modern Family. Like, they are so good. And this is about, and it's starring Neil Patrick Harris, myself, Emerson Brooks, all these award-winning, Tony Award-winning artists. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of these amazing, incredible actors that I got a chance to work with. And it's starring Neil Patrick Harris, myself, and I play a real estate agent. Neil just broke up with his boyfriend of 17 years. There's no reason for it. He doesn't understand why. And they're uncoupled, and he has to navigate, you know, going through this whole new dating scene. It's sort of like what I'm going through. what I'm going through right now is, you know, this is a whole new world. I was with somebody for 26 years, and now, you know, I'm getting all these specific pictures in my DMs slipping through and sliding through, and I don't know nothing about that life. First of all, I don't want to see them, okay? I don't want to see that, okay?
You ain't sharing them with your girls? You not sharing them with your girls? Like, girl?
Yo, my millennial friends, they be like, yo, that's required dating these days. I'm like, no, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. So, you know, it's a whole different world of how, you know, people come together and people date. And so it's really about a person navigating through this new world of dating and after being in a relationship for a long time. And what's beautiful about it is that even though it's about a man going through this, everybody can relate, because I look at it and I go, yup, I went through that. Yup, I went through that. It's the ups and downs. Right. Heartbreak is something that is relatable to all. It's a universal thing. So this is such a different show, and I'm so glad that it's being made, and I'm so glad that I'm a part of it.
You're going to see it in a different way. Tisha, when you really think about it too, you know, as far as we've come in 2022, I don't have a memory of a big mainstream show about a gay character played by a gay actor living a dating life and going through that dating. This is actually brand new for the mainstream.
It's like unprecedented. In America. Listen, I keep getting blessed to be a part of things that are so different and that are groundbreaking. And I'm just so happy that my career keeps moving in that direction. I'm so blessed to be able to do that. And you know what? It's going to be one of those things, sort of like the show Pose, where it puts a human factor to it. Mm. And you see the ups and downs of these characters. So I'm very, very proud of it. I'm proud that I'm a part of it.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Montana, DeVito, Lola Brooke, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly the curator, the lit digital DJ Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stahl. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam, 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire!
Tisha, being uncoupled, as you are in your real life, as a mom, right? Uh-huh. As a professional, as a business owner, we always have conversations on our program about relationships, right? Rosenberg's talked about his divorce. Laura just had a child, you know, me and my lady and my child, like we're very open about it. And it's a comfortable place for us. Right. Nice. But for you, and I don't know what it was like, and I wanted to ask you, because your personal life wasn't public always. I mean, people knew, but we didn't know the inner workings, right? Like nobody knew what was going on. And then there was this Tisha Campbell and breaking up, right, and the whole thing's exploded. It's crazy.
Yeah.
What was that like for you? And over what period of time did you give yourself enough grace and space to get to where you are today? Because there's somebody listening to this conversation right now trying to navigate that and put a calendar on when is this, you know, roller coaster, tumultuous emotions going to be over and I can find myself again.
Absolutely. So to uncouple doesn't mean to recouple right away, first and foremost. It doesn't mean that you have to go out and seek that. But one of those things that goes through your mind is, who am I outside of this person? Who am I? Because I took marriage, my wifely duties, I guess that's what you could call them, and being a mother, that was at the forefront of everything. Career came second. All of everything else, I had defined myself by that. I think one of the things that one must never, ever do, just in general, is give up your fiscal autonomy. Never, ever, ever do that. What if you are a couple in any way, shape, or form, both persons should be invested in the families and businesses' finances. You know?
Skin in the game.
Right. You have to understand it. Now, we're not taught, we don't have, you know, economics classes anymore, right? And so we're not taught that, but it's so important to not do that because you X yourself out of being a couple. I think that's really important. And then going through, like going to your actual question, going through and navigating and rediscovering oneself outside of the labels is one of the most devastating things one can, you know, go through, right? You know, in a relationship. And, but it's, I keep saying these words, it's a beautiful devastation. It's a beautiful devastation, because when you're going through it in the beginning, you actually go through the five stages of grief, you know, and then all of a sudden there's an awakening. There's a, I can do this. I can navigate. And I was just in one of those survival modes. Like, I just wanted to make sure that me and my kids were good. That's all I could concentrate on, right? But in that moment of, you know, me thinking that I have nothing, I'm sorry to bring it to this, but this is all I know. God kept giving me something. Mm-hmm. He kept paving the way for me and kept gifting me all these wonderful miracles. I never understood really what faith was until I felt like I was at absolute zero, because I thought faith was getting on your knees, praying, and getting up and doing the work. Well, until there was, I could not do anything. My hands were tied behind my back or up in the air, and there was nothing that I could do. That's when I understood, oh, things are going to work it out, because you're going to work it out. And it's one of those things where you go, you know what? Sometimes you got to be at zero in order to rise above. And there's a phoenix moment. And I keep talking and talking. Y'all can stop me if you want to.
No, it's a good stuff. We like it. We like it. Go off.
I get excited. I've been at zero before. I started out at zero. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see me coming. I didn't know how much strength I had until I had to do it again. And so it's a beautiful thing. Like, now that, you know, I'm working my way through, the one thing that I held on to was the gifts that God gave me. So now I'm in such a joyful spiritual place in my life. Like, I'm feeling really good about where I am and where I'm taking my family.
I love that.
How long was the really bad before it got good?
I think the really bad was about a year and a half. It was complete devastation. It was disbelief. It was, you know, anger at times. It was literally five stages of grief. And then it was more than acceptance. It was acceptance of myself and going, oh, I'm stronger than I really knew. It was getting rid of any baggage or setting boundaries for myself. Like, I used to live in a home where so many people would come over, and I was welcoming so many people. Well, I didn't have so many people, you know, when you're uncoupled, you know, and even in the show, you'll see, like, you know, there are certain friends that have to make choices, you know, right. Some people go this way, some people go this way. It's more than just uncoupling with an individual. It's an entire group. It's an entire family. It's an entire bunch of friendships. And now I might have four friends that I kick it with, period. And I'm good with that. I'm so good with that. Because they're genuine.
What about
this? Also,
oh, go
it's
ahead,
also
Laura,
interesting,
sorry.
Because it's like you have kids. So not only is this playing out for the whole world to see, but they have to see it too. And you have to help them navigate through those feelings, right?
That was the hardest part, you know. But kids, they say this, and you don't want to hear the crap at the time. You can't curse on here, right? Because I curse.
Go ahead. Yeah, go off.
You don't want to hear that S at the time. I'm trying not to. You don't want to hear that shit at the time. But they really are resilient. And as long as you are consistently showing them love, they will understand. They will get there. You know, it's still devastating and they still have to navigate. But my kids are so dope. Like,
how old are the kids?
One is 20, turning 21. He's studying to be an animal conservationist right now.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, he's super dope. And he's got two jobs too.
Go ahead.
And, you know, he works in humbling jobs. He was like, I want my own. I don't want nothing from you. You know, they really do see how hard I work and how much I think of them. So they think of me at the same time. Then I have my soon to be 13-year-old in a couple of weeks as well. And he's just amazing. He's one of the funniest little individuals, but his discernment is so incredible. He has so much more than I had when I was younger. And he's, you know, in middle school now, and he's starting to, like, he struggled. I'm gonna tell y'all the truth. He struggled in elementary because, you know, he was diagnosed with ADHD. Now, I accept diagnosis, but I don't accept labels in my life. Not with my kids either, right? Because my firstborn was diagnosed with autism, right? Mm. And so when he started to grow, I was like, no, okay, I'm going to communicate with you in some way, shape, or form. I don't care whether it's sign language or grunts, I'm going to figure this out. And I got to make this man as independent of me as possible. Mm. And, you know, something just clicked with him. And he's just an amazing human being. So both my kids, and I was going to the 13-year-old, you know, he struggled in school. And then when he got to middle school, things start to compartmentalize because you switch classes. And so for his brain, it really worked for him. Now he's getting A's and B's, and I'm so proud of him.
Bow, bow, bow.
He's somebody who thought he couldn't do math. And then he had this incredible teacher that really, you know, poured a lot into him and was like, everybody can do math. You know, I didn't even think I could do math. But he came home one day, he was like, I can do it. And it just started to click for him. So I'm really
that confidence too. That confidence is so important. And and it's important that you noted those labels sometimes can destroy a human's confidence.
Yes, but right? I do believe in diagnosis. Like, okay, I can get a diagnosis. I can work around it. I could try to do my best. Once you have something, a word or anything, once I had even the word autism, I started to research and understand it. What can I do for him? Look at cues. I think that's the real reason why I became an actor, is because, you know, when you look at the face of autism, at times they can't understand social cues. They don't understand emotions at times, but this is how he was before, because he was nonverbal. He couldn't talk nothing. But all of a sudden, I felt like, you know, what I do as a job, my job is to master human emotions. And I was like, that's why I became an actor. So then I started to get in his face. I started to engage. I started to, you know, show him what emotions were, you know, not in a conventional sense, sometimes in like literally, you know, papers, but it was one of those things where I could gift that to him. And so I really feel like that's why I became an actor. It's pretty dope.
God blessed you with that.
Thank you.
You had that skill to pour it back into your child.
To him. Yeah.
That's very dope. Tisha Campbell, ladies and gentlemen, new show on Netflix, Uncoupled. As you can see, she's shining bright. She's giving us her time today.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena, hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C.
Mr. C, step swimming.
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns. Yours truly, the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set. Hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Stiles. 30th anniversary of Summer Jam. 30% off right now. This offer ends at midnight on Sunday. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?
He's on fire.
Tisha, looking back at the classics, let's talk classics now.
Okay. Oh my God. You want to go into my 70s and 80s work?
I mean, whatever. I just want to know, do you have a favorite when you look back at?
God, they're all my favorites. It's funny because the way that we were brought up, like, you know, I've known Tashina and Carl since we were like 11 and 12 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, the way that we were brought up in the business, you never look backwards. You only look forward because you're only as good as your last job. So we don't even look at our work. We kind of just keep it pressing. Right.
Right.
But when I look back, it's kind of hard because I point myself this different stages. Like I could say Little Shop of Horrors was one of my favorite things because I got to be with Tashina in London. That's where we filmed it. I could say that The Martin Show was one of the best times in my life, again, because I was with Tashina and I knew all of the people that were in that. We were really like
working
you know,
your friends every day, just hanging out, making
people laugh. And then Wife and Kids, like I learned a lot from Damon about wit and heart and all of these things. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that I've done, even animation. It's so hard to choose.
No, you don't have to choose. You don't have to choose. I just like to see what I ask these questions. It's always hard for people to choose. I anticipated you being able not to choose. But I just like to ask to see if somebody gonna say something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's different stages of my life.
Did you know when you and everyone were doing House Party and Martin's in House Party and he's the DJ and the whole thing's going on? Yeah. Did you guys know at the time what Martin was gonna be?
I did. I used to tell him all the time that he was going to be humongous. You could see stardom. There's something I can kind of see that in a person, like even if they're starting out, I can spot an artist from a mile away anyway. Oh, right. You're a singer. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. But I can also spot somebody that has that special thing. And Martin always had a special, you know, thing about his talent. So I knew he would blow up. We just didn't know that it was going to last for like forever, that particular show. But right. I
what was it?
Know
it was 10 years? How long did Martin was on 10? Did it pull
no,
10 years?
No, it was only on for 5 years. And
man, that felt.
But it feels like that because it's never stopped. It's like the Brady Bunch. I Love Lucy. We never knew it would be like that.
Right.
But right. for him, I knew he was going to be huge.
And Martin also, another movie you guys were in very different roles, was Boomerang. big moment for him. And you got to just kind of pop in and be like one of the real comedic pieces of the movie. How fun. And did you know how big a deal and how special that would be? It just celebrated 30 years.
With movies, I never tell anybody that I'm in them. I'll do them. But anything can end up on the editing, you know, floor. And so I assumed that my 3-page scenes was never going to make it because we had such brilliant comedians in that film. So I never told anybody that I was in it until I passed by Reggie Hudlin one day. I happened to be on the Paramount lot in LA and I see him and I'm like, hey, he was like, you were really good in the movie. I was like, oh, thank you for keeping me. I wasn't even thinking of it like that.
Listen, Tisha, it's been great to build with you today. I mean, we could keep going for hours because you've just given us so much great entertainment throughout the years.
Thank you.
Yo, and seeing you shine bright right now is amazing, right? Because, you know, when you've been doing this entertainment thing for a long time, you never know. You never know when it's your time and you're not going to get any more looks. And seeing you get more looks, seeing you laugh and just continue to have fun with your career is amazing and inspirational. Everybody go check out Uncoupled. Netflix. Wait,
I gotta ask Tisha one last hip hop thing.
Okay,
before
here we go.
Were you annoyed by, have any thoughts about, remember when Q-Tip referenced on Find a Way, teasing me like Tisha did Martin? Did that impact you at all at the time?
I didn't think about it because I was in survival mode. Like I wasn't even, I don't think I even, I don't even, oh, the song you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. On Find a Way, on, do you not know it?
I do. The Q-Tip song. Yes, no. I know exactly what you're talking about. I never thought about it.
Okay.
Because you know what was funny? I had to work with him.
That's right at the beginning.
Got it. I had to work with him, like, when that,
hang on,
when that was out, we did a cartoon together.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
All right, so you were saying, Tisha?
That's dumb, first of all. Second, that's funny. No, we had to work together in a cartoon as soon as that was out.
Wow.
So it was like, I didn't, you know, people do what they have to do. You know, they have their own opinion. I can't change nobody's opinion. They don't know me. So what am I going to do? And we got to work together. That's why you got to be kind to people while you while you doing this, because you always run back into people. So we did a cartoon called Happily Ever After, and I had just missed him in the studio, but we were on the same, you know, card. So it just is what it is. I don't care.
I've heard that lyric 1,000 times and the song. Never even thought nothing of it.
Okay.
I just took it at face value of as an episode from the show. Like, I never even thought nothing of it.
Right.
Ah, okay. See, I probably did too. I wasn't even thinking about it. Because I knew I was going to see people anyway. You're going to work with people anyway, so it don't even matter.
It was great seeing you at the BET Awards, by the way. That was a nice written applause. Did it feel nice to get your flowers?
With Carl?
Yeah, just like when you guys just went up and did the little presentation, it just felt nice. I felt like the reception you got was such a like warm, loving moment from the audience there.
That's so sweet. Listen, I didn't hear it. So like sort of like when we do sitcoms, you don't hear the audience. You kind of just kind of zone in and do the thing. So I never heard it, but I'm glad that they were happy, you know, to see me and Carl. But I don't.
It felt
hear
that it way.
Oh,
it felt
that's
how it played on TV. Yeah,
that's good. That's
definitely
good. That's good.
Love.
That's good.
Thank you, Tisha.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Good luck on everything, and hope to see you again soon.
Okay, I'm gonna get my electronics together. Okay.
Take care.
Peace.
Podcast listeners, Summer Jam Through the Years is a documentary-style podcast mini-series exploring 4 summer jams through 4 decades, hosted by me, Laura Styles. All episodes of our first season are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. Check it out to hear stories from behind the scenes like Jay-Z and Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson!
The year Nicki Minaj refused to perform.
I know there's some chicks here waiting to sing Starships later. I'm not talking to y'all right now.
And how the show went on despite COVID and a hurricane. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
UBS Arena. Hold on! Sexy Red, French Montana, DeVito, Roller Brook, Cash Cobain, Bass Swag, Doja Cat, Honey Baby, Fabio Fari, 41 Cal Rich, Jet Carter, Tata, Chef G is home, baby, Sleepy Hollow, Connie Diamond, 310 Baby, Celebrity Host, Ice Spice and A Boogie, Big Daddy Kane will be celebrating the life of the finisher, Mr. C,
Step Swimming,
Jadakiss, EPMD, Eric B and Rakim, Method Man and Redman, Lord Tariq and Peter Guns, yours truly the curator, the lit digital DJ, Funk Flex on the set, hosted by Nessa, Ebro, Peter Rosenberg, and Laura Styles. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, you thought we wasn't going to get it right?